Series on the book of Acts. If you will, open your Bibles to Acts. We are looking at a series called This Is Us. This Is Us. There is a popular television show out right now called This Is Us. Somebody asked me if I'd gotten the title from the television show. I have. Then they asked me if I'd ever watched a television show. I have not. I haven't seen 1 second of 1 minute of one episode. I just saw the title, and I thought it really worked for this series. So my understanding of the series of the TV show is that it is looking at people in the present day, and is also examining the lives of their parents from the past. So these storylines are running concurrently. You're finding out what's happening in the present. You're learning about what's happening in the past. The reason that I use that for this series is because it goes right along with what we're talking about. The book of Acts is us. Jesus has returned to heaven. He is no longer there. He's no longer among them in physical form. This is not the Gospels. This is after Jesus has returned. So everything from the book of Acts until now, we can learn those lessons because they are us. They are dealing with how to go about living for Christ without Christ being in the midst of them. Think about how difficult that must be for someone like Peter or James or John, who spent 3 or 3.5 years with Jesus, the physical embodiment of the Son of God. Fully man, fully God, he's there. You have a question, you ask him. He's with you. Think how wonderful that would be to live the Christian life. But then he's gone. So how do we do it now? How do we live now? How do we move forward now? And that is what the book of Acts is about, and it's applicable to us because we are in the same situation. This is us. So this morning I want to look at a story from the life of Peter. So this morning is about Peter. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. When he gave her his hand and lifted her up, when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. Let's pray. God, I ask in the next few minutes that you will speak to us. You have been with us so wonderfully in worship. We ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to move among us in the hearts of everyone here. We want to hear from you, myself included. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last year in August, we moved. We have for a number of years owned a home in Florida. So everywhere that we have lived, we've had to rent a house. And so finally, at the beginning of last summer, we finally, after I believe 8 years of not living in the house, we finally sold the house that we hadn't lived in Florida in more than 8 years. We had had renters. We sold that house, and we were finally ready to purchase a home, which we did. And we bought a house here in Bethlehem. We're extremely close to the church. It's a great house, and we love being there. But one of the things that I realized I needed to do as we moved was renew my driver's license. However, I waited and waited, and so then it became almost the end of September. And in order to vote in the election, you have to be registered to vote at least 30 days in advance in the state of Georgia. You can't register to vote the day of the vote. So I realized I'm worried about doing this online because I'm not sure they'll receive it and do it online and they'll get processed. And I wanted to vote in the election, all the rest of that stuff. So I went to the DMV. What a wonderful, wonderful experience it was for me. You go in and you get a number. The best part was you have to fill out all your information on a computer. I was on step like 34 of 36 steps, and the computers went down. So I had to refill the information out on a piece of paper. I was like, government. So I finally do that. I get my license renewed. I register to vote. But here's the deal. On renewing my license, I didn't have to do anything. They didn't ask me to take a driver's test again. They didn't even check my eyesight. I simply gave them updated information. I no longer lived here. Now I lived there. So I no longer voted in this district. Now I voted here. So they registered me to vote, asked me if I wanted to be an organ donor, got my new address, and I was good to go. And a couple of weeks later, they mailed me my new license. But nothing about the process was different, or nothing about the process I had to do other than receive and give updated information. That is the essence of renewal. Renewal is simply receiving some updated information. I want current information. Turn over, if you will, now to Acts chapter 10 and verse 4. Acts 10 and 4. As we just read, Simon Peter is in Joppa. He has raised a woman from the dead. And it says, because of that, many believed on the Lord. I would think so. If we resurrect a dead body in here today, I promise you there will be no empty seats next Sunday. You pull off a resurrection, everybody comes to church the next Sunday. So he has raised Dorcas or Tabitha from the dead. They have seen a resurrection. And it says, and many believed on the Lord. He has a revival happening in Joppa. Simon Peter has seen the gospel and the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit transform the city of Joppa. At the same time, there is a Roman centurion named Cornelius who is believing in God, who is trying to become a believer, who believes in God and doesn't know what to do about it. We pick up the story in Acts chapter 10 and verse 8. And when Cornelius observed the angel, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And the angel said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to him, he sent them to Joppa. Now here's the deal with renewal. The first thing about renewal is this. Renewal challenges us to move forward. Renewal challenges us to move forward. This is one of the most difficult things when you're dealing with renewal. Renewal says this is the updated information. This is the newest, most up-to-date information. And it says you need to move forward. There's a fascinating verse in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses is recounting to the children of Israel their wanderings in the desert right before they enter the promised land. And Moses says at one point that when they had received the law and they had camped at Sinai and they had been at Sinai for a long time, then he says, it's not recorded, by the way, in Exodus. But in Deuteronomy, Moses says that God said to him, "You have camped at this mountain long enough. You have camped at this mountain long enough." Think of what has happened at Sinai. Moses saw the face of God. He received the Ten Commandments. He received the law. He received instructions on how to build the tabernacle. They communicated. Moses went up into the mountain and talked with God, had a relationship with God. It's the most wonderful place and moment in the entire life of Moses. And yet there comes a time where God says to him, "You have camped at this mountain long enough." Renewal challenges us to move forward, but it's against the human nature. What we want to do is stay at the point of our greatest success for the rest of our life. But God says, "Yes, it's wonderful. I used you in this moment. I had a plan and a purpose for you at this time. But now it is time to move forward into new levels of renewal and to move forward. You cannot camp at this mountain forever." We don't want to do that, do we? See, Joppa is where we raise somebody from the dead. Joppa is where many believed in God. Joppa is where you're a big deal. Trust me, he's a big deal. You want to know why? Because everywhere he goes, people go, that's the guy that raised the lady from the dead. He's a big deal in Joppa, right? He's an important guy. Simon Peter is a regular dude. He's a professional fisherman. And all of a sudden, everywhere he goes in Joppa, people go, hey, that's Simon Peter. He raised Tabitha from the dead. There goes the guy that raised Tabitha from the dead. He's a miracle worker. He can raise the dead. Don't tell me that doesn't feel good. Don't tell me that doesn't feel nice. But renewal says, we will not dwell at this mountain any longer. I have called you to the promised land. If Moses and the children of Israel lived at Sinai, they missed the promised land. As good as you think this might be, God has a plan for something even better. It's never the plan of God to live at Sinai. He is calling us, constantly challenging us to move into the promised land. But what happens is we want to camp where the miracle happened. But today's miracle is not the answer to tomorrow's problem. Listen to me. Today's miraculous thing is not the answer to what is an issue tomorrow. God, renewal is constantly saying, move forward. Launch out into the deep. Follow me. Follow me. Look, if you will, very quickly at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 18. God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he says this. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. But our humanity wants to camp at the site of our last miracle. I had a buddy of mine named Steve. Me and Steve were friends in Florida. And Steve was one of the funniest guys I've ever known in my entire life. And Steve, we were talking one day, and we were talking about something, life or something like that. And Steve said, my life has really not gone the way that I thought it would go. And I said, what do you mean, Steve? He said, I'll be honest with you. I peaked in the eighth grade. I was like, what? And he said, in the eighth grade, he said, I was in great shape. And he said, I worked at a skating rink. And he said, I could skate forward and I could skate backward. And he said, it was great. I just skated around the rink and everybody wanted to know me and all the girls wanted to talk to me. And he said, I got to be honest with you, Travis. I peaked in the eighth grade. If you knew Steve, it would be a lot funnier too. Here's the deal. That's what happens, right? We want to camp where we peak. This is the greatest version of me that God is ever going to have, right? That's what we think. This, the Mount Sinai me, the Joppa me, the skating rink me. This is the greatest version of me that I'm ever going to have. So I have to stay here. I can't move somewhere else. And God says, no, the promised land is there. God says, no, Cornelius' house is there. Don't camp at the site of your last miracle. Renewal challenges us to constantly move forward. Now, back to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, that means while they prepared the food, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, I want you to imagine this because we don't fully understand it. The Jews of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and even Jews to this day, practice kosher. They eat certain food and they don't eat other food. So this is a blanket full of unclean animals. Bacon and sausage, all kinds of yummy, yummy things are in this blanket. Did somebody go, oh, really loud? Is that my imagination? All right, calm down. First of all, calm down a little bit. Second of all, eat some breakfast before you come to church. Good grief. All right. So it's a blanket. It's a blanket full of unclean food. And then the voice from heaven says, arise and eat. And Peter says, I have never not eaten kosher. I have never broken the dietary laws. I don't eat anything that's common or unclean. And God says, do not call anything unclean that I have cleaned. And then he repeats it a second time, and then he repeats it a third time. And here's the deal. Renewal challenges our preconceived mindset. Renewal challenges what we know was true. Peter knew that Jesus was the Messiah of the Jews. There was no question in his mind. He had no question in his mind. Jesus was the Messiah for the Jews. Now, you know, Jesus had had some interactions with Gentiles. And you remember he healed the centurion's servant. And remember the Gentile woman came and wanted a healing. And Jesus talked to her about crumbs under the table. Peter remembers that stuff. But he knows, there's no question in his mind, Jesus is the Savior, he's the Messiah of the Jews. This is what the Jews have been waiting for since Egypt. The Messiah to come, since the time of the prophets, since the time of the kings, since David wrote Psalms about it. They were waiting for Messiah. The Romans aren't waiting for Messiah. The Gentiles aren't waiting for Messiah. Jesus is for the Jews. This we know, he knew it. He knew it was true. And then all of a sudden, this vision happens, and then it happens again, and then a third time Jesus says, don't call anything uncommon or unclean that I have cleaned, that I have cleansed. And then Peter wakes up, and Peter thinks to himself, what in the world is happening? Here's the deal. When we think something is how God thinks it is, it's very difficult for us to really understand what he is trying to do. When we project our mindset onto God, when he comes with something different or renewal, it's very difficult for us to believe that it's actually God that's speaking. Now, I want to show a picture to you. If you will, put that picture up on the screen for me. That's a picture of a duck, obviously. You can see the eye and the beak going out to the side. It's a duck. It's obviously a duck. Except here's the problem. It also might be a rabbit. See, you see the ears and the eye and the mouth. So see, what happened was when it first went up, it was a duck. And you knew it was a duck. And you couldn't see anything other than a duck until I said, no, no, it's a rabbit. And now all you can see is a rabbit. Or you're not sure what exactly you see. If you look at this part, it looks like, if you look at the mouth, it looks like a rabbit. If you look at the beak, it looks like a duck. Right? Because that's what happens when we decide what God has said before he says it. When we decide in our preconceived mindset, this is what God is calling me to do. This is what God is saying. This is what God will say. When we say to ourselves, this is what will happen, we miss what God wants to say. And it's very hard to convince us otherwise. You know how I know it's very hard to convince us otherwise? Because God showed Peter the vision three times. If it was easy to convince Peter that he should go and minister to the Gentiles, he would have only had to show it to him once. But instead, he shows it to him three times. Why? Because God says it's a rabbit, and Peter says, no, it's a duck. God says it's a rabbit, and Peter says, no, it's a duck. God says it's a rabbit. Peter says, I think duck, God. I'm going to be honest with you. Duck. Right? We must allow God to challenge our preconceived mindset. I know what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. I know that God has called me here. And if you refuse to hear anything else, then God cannot ever send you to the next season of ministry. If you say to yourself, this is where I'm supposed to be, this is where I'm supposed to stay. 500 years ago, everybody thought the earth was flat until a man named Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492 and proved everybody wrong, right? 500 years ago, we knew the earth was flat. You sailed far enough and you just fell off. Until Columbus proved not only is the earth not flat, but there's a whole undiscovered landmass out there that nobody knew about. 400 years ago, we knew that the sun rotated the earth. Until a man named Galileo said, no, I don't think that's right. The earth rotates around the sun. 115 years ago, Everybody knew that heavier than air flight was impossible. You might be able to go up in a balloon if you filled it with lighter than air gas. But heavier than air, fixed wing flight is impossible. Until two brothers who ran a bicycle shop in North Carolina decided to fly a plane in 1903. And heavier than flight air was possible. Heavier than air flight was possible. 2 minutes ago, you thought that was a duck. Until I proved to you that it was actually a rabbit. Or maybe it's a mixture of both. My point is, the moment that you decide this is what God wants me to do for the rest of my life, this is where God is calling me to be, God is saying this, God wants me to do that, the moment that you decide, that we decide, that I decide, this is what I'm supposed to do, this is my destiny, then when renewal comes, when the new destiny, when the new future shows up, we cannot hear it and we won't believe it because we've already decided what God is going to do in our life. Renewal challenges our mindset, our preconceived mindset. Now back again to Acts chapter 10. So Peter wakes up from the vision. He's sitting on the roof trying to think, what in the world does this mean? Acts 10 and verse 19. Acts 10 and 19. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore. Go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then Peter invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then Peter said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, 'For what reason have you sent me?'" The next thing about renewal is renewal challenges us to take personal risks. Renewal challenges us to take personal risks. Peter says to them, "Look, you know I'm breaking the law to even be here." Now, I want you to understand this. Caesarea is a Gentile city because the Gentiles were considered unclean by the Jewish people. The Romans, when they were occupying Israel, they established Roman cities, which had bathhouses and which had, the places where they would have chariot races, and they would have all these things that the Jews considered unclean. So not only has Peter gone into an unclean city, he has now gone into an unclean house. Not only is the house unclean, but the man inside it is a Roman. Not only is the man inside it a Roman, he is a centurion. He is an occupying soldier that the Jews hate. An occupying soldier in a house that's unclean, in a city that's unclean. And Peter says when he walks in, "I just want you guys to know, this is against the law." You understand? He says, "I just want everybody to know what a great personal risk I'm taking here. I just want you to understand, I shouldn't even be in here." Because renewal challenges us to take personal risk. I'm not saying God's calling all of us to be a martyr. What I'm saying is God calls us to take risks for him that may not seem obvious in the moment. God is calling us to try some new stuff. I knew a guy that was a missions pastor in Athens, Georgia. I talked to him on the phone one time. He called me and said, "Hey, some of the people from my church want to go to Ghana." And I said, "Oh, that's wonderful. That's great. I've been to Ghana a ton. I can give you a lot of ideas about Ghana. I can give you some help on what to do." I said, "If you want to go and minister with Global Servants," I said, "we have churches and our people can meet you at the airport," all that kind of stuff. He said, "Actually, no, I didn't make myself clear." He said, "We want to go to Ghana, but," he said, "I need you to go with me." And I said, okay? I said, why do you need me to go with you necessarily? I said, I don't mind doing it. I love going to Ghana, but why do I need to go with you? He's the missions pastor at a church. Keep this in mind. The missions pastor at a church. He said, well, he said, I'll be honest with you. I never go to a country with a team that I haven't been to previously. So I never take a team anywhere that I haven't already gone. What? Come on. You're a missions pastor. You know what you do? You get a team, you find out some information about the country, you buy tickets, and you go, and you pray, and God takes care of you. I don't understand living scared lives. We serve a powerful God. God sometimes challenges us in moments and seasons of renewal to take personal risks. I don't understand how this is going to work for my finances. I don't understand how this is going to work for my relationships. I don't understand how this is going to work for my family. Ask my wife. It's not easy. We moved from Florida to Oklahoma to Georgia to Oklahoma to Georgia. That's not easy. It's not always fun. My son Mark went to 4 or 5 different high schools. That's not easy for my kids, but renewal challenges us sometimes to launch out into the deep, to try something new, to take personal risk. Peter says, it's illegal for me to be in this house, but God has shown me. God has shown me. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's intimidating. But renewal challenges us to step out there and try something new. Don't be scared to go to a country because you've never been there before. That's crazy. Don't be scared not to go where God has called you to go. Forget about missions. God says to you, I want you, I'm not saying anybody's dealing with this, but maybe God says, I want you to quit your job and do this. That's scary, right? That's intimidating. That's when renewal challenges us. But the only way that we get to the season of ministry that God wants us to be in is by allowing Him to lead us through seasons of personal risk, through times where we clench up and it gets nervous. You ever driven in the rain for a long time and then it stops raining and you realize you've been gripping the steering wheel so tight that your fingers go like that? That's what it's like in seasons of renewal at times. God's like, go there. And you're like, okay, God, I'm listening to you. And then you get where you're supposed to be and you realize you can barely open your fingers because you've been squeezing the steering wheel so tight. That's what renewal is about. It challenges us to take some risk, to allow God to lead us into places that are uncomfortable for us, where it scares us. Now I want you to look at the last part of this. And this is the payoff. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. I won't read all of it, but basically Cornelius tells Peter that he's had a vision. Peter says, okay, I hear that, and he begins to preach. He begins to preach Jesus as the Messiah, that he's died, that Jesus was resurrected, his forgiveness, all of that. You can read Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 10, but I want you to look at verse 44. While Peter was still speaking... While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, that is the Jewish people. And the Jewish people, the Jewish believers were who believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. This is the moment where everything changes. None of us are in this church, in this building, in this place, if Peter does not obey what God says and goes to Cornelius' house. This is when Gentile believers are grafted into the vine. All of us here are here because of what Peter did in that place at Cornelius' house. And they were astonished because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And renewal changed everything. Now, after this, here's an interesting thing. After this, Peter goes to Jerusalem, and he defends what he did with the Gentile believers. He says, the same thing that happened to us in the upper room is the same thing that happened in Cornelius' house. And Peter says, this is real. They are believers just like we are. And they decide in Jerusalem at the Jerusalem Council, okay, believers can be both Jewish and Gentile. After that, Peter fades from the New Testament. That's about it for Peter. In another 2 chapters, you're not going to hear about him anymore. And a man named Paul rises up And the rest of Acts is about Paul. And by the way, Paul writes most of the New Testament. And Peter's ministry is kind of not recorded anymore. We don't really know what happened. We don't really know where Peter went. We don't know any of that stuff. We have church history. We have some, you know, theories. But we really don't know what happened to Peter. Because Peter fades away and Paul rises up. Because here's the last thing about renewal. Renewal challenges others to their own renewal. Renewal challenges others. Your renewal challenges others to do things greater than you have ever done. See, Paul couldn't begin his ministry to the Gentiles until Peter did it first. For lack of a better word, Peter had the juice to make everybody else do what he wanted. Peter was Jesus's best friend. Paul was some nobody from Paul, Saul of Tarsus. Whoever heard of that guy? Plus, he was killing Christians like 5 years ago. I'm not listening to him, but Peter was Jesus' best friend, and Peter walked into the council at Jerusalem and said, Jesus came for the Gentiles. He is the Messiah for all. He said, by the way, if anybody questions me, here's my business card, Simon Peter, Jesus' best friend. Right? Who's got the juice? Who's got the juice to stand up to Peter? Nobody does. None of them do. Best friend of Jesus on the business card, that's all you got to do. That's a mic drop, boom, and you just walk out of the room. Because you win that argument. They say, I don't think we should do this. You go, really? Well, I'm Jesus' best friend. And you just walk out of the room, right? And so because Peter allowed his renewal to challenge himself, his renewal then challenged others to their own levels of renewal. And all these Gentile churches and Christians and all of us and the ministry that Paul did and the way that Christianity swept through the Gentile world happened because Peter was willing to let God challenge him to his own renewal, and his renewal challenged others to their renewal. And it went on and on and on, and it changed the world. But all of this happens because Peter goes to Cornelius' house and preaches the gospel. Let me tell you an interesting story that about an anniversary that was yesterday. Yesterday was a fascinating anniversary in the sports world. It was the 63rd anniversary of a very important event. I don't know if anybody saw it. Yesterday, May the 6th, was the 63rd anniversary of the first person to run the sub-4-minute mile. Roger Bannister, a British middle distance runner, was the first person in the history of the world to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Until Roger Bannister did it, there was some discussion on whether or not it was even possible for the human body to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Roger Bannister ran the mile on May the 6th, 1954. He ran the mile in 3 minutes and 59 seconds. He was the first person to run the mile in less than 4 minutes. Let me tell you two cool things that happened after he did that. Nobody in the history of timed races, in the history of the planet Earth, had ever run a mile in less than 4 minutes. In the calendar year following when Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile, 4 other people broke the 4-minute mile. And how's that possible? Maybe a bunch of really good milers were born at the same time, and maybe training methods changed. Maybe this happened or that happened. You know what happened? They saw Roger Bannister's renewal and dedication, and they said, if Roger can do it, so can I. And in the calendar year, after he ran the 4-minute mile, 4 other people ran the 4-minute mile. You want to know the other interesting thing about Roger Bannister? He held the record for the mile, the world record time. He held the world record time for the mile, the shortest of anyone who's ever held the record. Roger Bannister only held the record for 46 days. He ran the less than a 4-minute mile, and 46 days later, somebody ran it faster than Roger. You want to know who that was? Nobody knows, and nobody cares. Did you know want to know why? Because he wasn't the first one to do it. Name the second guy that stepped on the moon, right? Buzz Aldrin is the first guy. Everybody knows who Buzz Aldrin is, and everybody knows who Roger Bannister is, because their renewal and dedication inspired others to do even greater stuff, inspired others to do even more wonderful things, inspired others to do stuff. And those guys looked at Roger Bannister and said, if he can run it in less than 4 minutes, so can I. And he only held the record for 46 days. Peter more or less disappears from the book of Acts because Paul was called to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter was an uneducated fisherman who probably only spoke Aramaic. Paul was educated. He could read. He could write. He spoke Greek. He was a Roman citizen, and he was the man to take the gospel to the Gentiles. But he couldn't do it if Peter hadn't experienced his own moment of renewal first. Renewal, your renewal, if you will allow God to challenge you, your season of renewal will challenge others to do even greater things. Let me close with this very quickly. As you know, I was just 2 weeks ago in Ghana in West Africa. I mentioned it before. I go about once a year, visit the work that we have there in West Africa. On my way home, on the flight back, I was thinking of all the things that we do in West Africa and all the things that we have done. And I think about all of the missionaries that have gone or started works or started ministries in West Africa or around the world because of what Global Servants did in Ghana. I won't go through the whole thing, but my dad went to Ghana for the first time in 1981. You can tell the story sometime when he's here, and I won't go into all the details, but basically, for lack of a better word, my dad had a dream or a vision, and God basically spoke to him and said, go to Ghana. My dad knew no one in West Africa. The country had just endured a coup. When he landed in Accra, there were tanks on the runway, and he didn't know a single person in the country. Out of that came all that Global Servants does now. But even more than that, out of that came all these other missionaries. I could tell you at least a dozen missions organizations that got their start by serving as short-term missionaries in Ghana with my dad, traveling with him there and seeing it. A church over in Cumming, right here in Atlanta, a church right over there in Cumming is beginning a ministry in Burkina Faso because the man that's the pastor there talked to my dad, heard what we had done in Ghana, and he decided he wanted to do the same thing. There are missions organizations and missionaries all over the continent of Africa who are there because they allowed the renewal that my dad got a hold of to affect them as well. And the renewal that my dad had challenged them to their own levels of renewal as well. What my dad did challenged me to my own level of renewal. And the work goes on and on and on. Renewal is not always fun. It's not always easy. And it is often quite scary. We want to stay in Joppa. We want to camp at Mount Sinai. But listen to me. I don't know what God is calling you to do. Your renewal is as unique as every person that is in here. What I know is he's calling you to do something for the kingdom, and it is some level of renewal that will encourage and challenge others to their own levels of renewal. There's something that God is calling each of us to do. As God said to Moses, you have dwelt at this mountain long enough. You have dwelt at this mountain long enough. I don't know what God's been speaking to you about. I don't know what God's been challenging you about. I don't know what renewal God has been talking to you about. But he speaks to all of us. You have dwelt at this mountain long enough. Peter says, I shouldn't even be here. This is scary. This is intimidating. And it's illegal. But God has shown me. When God shows you the renewal that he wants you to do, don't be afraid, don't be scared, don't run from it. Embrace your renewal and step into the next season of life.